Well, good evening. We would like to welcome you here to the commencement ceremony for Berean Christian School and the celebration of the achievements of Conrad Tallman. So if you would, please join me in a word of prayer this evening. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have this evening to come and to recognize Conrad and the achievements that he's had throughout his schooling career, Lord, for the commencement of his life. We pray that you might bless him at this time, as he goes on and proceeds from Berean, that you might lead and guide and direct in all that he does, and that he might further your kingdom here upon this earth. Lord, I pray that you might be with us tonight as well, that we might be able to send him off in a good way, and that we might be a blessing to him tonight. And we give you praise and honor and glory for all that you're going to do in and through us, for it's in your name that I pray. Amen. Well, we are going to begin this evening with a farewell address from Conrad. So if you would come forward, please, sir.
Thank you all for taking the time to come here and celebrate the end of my time with Berean. The schooling opportunity was made possible by several different entities, and now is my time that I have to thank them. I must begin with God. Being in control of everything, I cannot describe how blessed and how special I feel to have experienced school as I did. God chose me out of thousands of other students to be one of the few students at Berean, and I can't thank him enough for that. Next, I must thank my parents. While they could have sent me to public school, they made sacrifices to assure that I would receive the education that was best for me. Because of them, I was given ample opportunity to study the Bible and grow closer to God. Also, I must thank all my siblings that I've had for the blessings and trials that they've given me and which helped sculpt me into the person I am today. I must thank my teachers, the teachers that have had me as your student. Thank you for pushing me to do what I didn't want to do out of laziness and just for putting up with me. But greater thanks is extended to Pastor Rao, Pastor White, and Mr. Root. These three men have been in my life for a long time now, and they've been men that I've been able to look up to. I see in them a desire to please God and to help others grow in their relationship with God. And through CLT, morning exercises, and chapel, they've been a huge part in my growth with my relationship in God. I would like to thank my friends, to David, Patrick, and Stephen. You've been my Imgur when I need a good laugh. You've been my Reddit when I need someone to argue with, and you've been my Twitter to make myself feel as if someone cared about the tiny things in my life. To my best friend, Kendra, thank you for being there throughout my life in the good and bad times. Thank you for being there when I'm ranting and just for listening. Now the question is, what will I be doing with my life in the future? At the moment, I'm planning to attend SWCC, and I am pursuing a career in computer science. And this summer I've been blessed and I've been offered an internship at a tech company in St. Louis. And hopefully at the end of the summer I will have a clear idea of where I want to go and how I want to get there. To my classmates behind me, it's been great going to school with you guys. None of them came. But the best advice I could give you is to seek God. If you seek God, first and foremost in your life, all the little things are going to fall behind that. At Berean, you have an opportunity to be saturated in the Word of God, and I can just encourage you to take advantage of CLT morning exercises and our chapel, and just soak it up, live what you learn, make application of what you learn, and I promise you, you won't forget it. Thank you, and good night.
Good evening to one and all. Thank you for attending this graduation celebration for Conrad. This evening I have the pleasure and honor of introducing a longtime friend, longtime pastor, and a distinguished gentleman, who also is the senior pastor of this church and the director of Berean Christian School. May I present to you my friend and your pastor, Pastor Doug White.
I can say grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad that each of you are here. So I would like to address myself to members of the school board, the faculty and staff, the parents of our graduate, the guests, family, and friends who have come to honor our graduate this evening, the students of BCS who have come this evening in honor of a fellow student who has now accomplished the goal of commencement. And Conrad, I want to speak and address myself to you. It's not merely the expected thing to say at a commencement ceremony. It is an honor for me to be the speaker. We've had a number of really good speakers, a number of people who are famous, and we appreciate every single one of them. But it was an honor to me to be selected by Conrad to be a speaker. I'm just very humbled by all of that. Thank you, Conrad. I do really appreciate that very much. BCS is celebrating its 43rd year. This is our 39th commencement, as best we can tell. We think the first one was in 1975. Vivian, am I close to that? Yeah. I see a nod from Elaine and from Vivian. That's a pretty good confirmation right there. Why did BCS ever start? Sometimes people ask that question and just without a good solid answer to you, I'd like to just give you just a little idea of what happened. Parents and church leaders at the end of the 1960s were very concerned regarding the direction education and the culture at large were taking. It seemed as if the whole biblical worldview that once seemed pervasive in American culture was not only drifting away, but was being pushed away by a less and less friendly public education system. That had been done so because the Supreme Court decisions had been made that were both confusing in their application and, in some situations, went overboard in their open hostility to Christianity. When a group of Christian parents discovered there was a way to have a school, a Christian school, within the current structure of a church facility, they approached the elders and pastors of the church to organize one. They wanted to have a place that taught the biblical worldview. They knew already from what they were understanding from Supreme Court decisions that was not possible any longer. The separation of church and state were being heralded more and more, and it was not possible to have a biblical worldview. And the people of the Edgemont Bible Church and a number of parents that were living in that whole Edgemont area felt the great need to have the biblical worldview taught. So in 1970, a group was organized together. By 1971, under Pastor Daryl Handel, a Berean Christian school came into existence. And during its entire time here, it has always been an ethnically diverse educational organization. Conrad, it's been a pleasure for me to watch you grow up from a young man who was, for a while, in the shadow of his sister. Sometimes if I knew we were seeing Kendra, we were bound to see Conrad pretty close by. But now I have to say this, Conrad, that you've become a trusted individual with the audiovisual equipment of this church, the electronic equipment of this church. It is amazing to me the skill that you have in that. And you become very trusted in that. People count on you to get that all taken care of and squared away. I've seen you become a young man who's unafraid of hard work, whose diligence and attention to detail has made you one that people can depend on to get a job done. You're one of the few young men that always came to men's prayer breakfast. Now, it may have been the dad said, "We're not having breakfast today unless you show up at men's prayer breakfast." But whatever it was, you were always there. Always there praying with us. And I always appreciated that about you. It showed fine Christian character as you were doing that. Obviously, academically, you've gone beyond the requirements of BCS to complete extra work in your chosen field of vocation. Your parents, teachers, faithful friends have tried to counsel you with the best godly counsel they knew how to offer. You have much information stored in your memory banks. It'll be up to you, though, and your faith-filled response to God to become the man he intended you to be. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant testimonies, Conrad. That's what Psalm 25 says. And Psalm 25 goes on further to say, "The humble will the Lord teach his way and guide in justice." I appreciate hearing your message of gratitude tonight. A humble man knows how to be grateful. A humble man knows who is responsible for him being there. And sometimes knows even the little ones who may not be as quite up front who were also responsible. Thank you, Conrad, for being a gracious man with gratitude and humility. You keep those before you, and I know you'll be a success. Not everything in school, however, is always just hard work, and there are some funny moments that go along with school, too. I thought I would give a list of the funny things I know have occurred at the Berean Christian School that Conrad's responsible for. But I determined that's not what we'll do tonight. I don't want to say what student it was, but there was a student who was not getting necessarily good marks in school. And one day he surprised the teacher with the announcement. He tapped her on the shoulder and said, "I don't want to scare you, but my daddy says if I don't start getting better grades, somebody's going to get a spanking." So, there was an 8-year-old that was giving his kid brother some advice as the younger one was about to go off to school for the first time. He said, "Don't learn how to spell car, because if you do, after that the words just keep getting harder and harder." One of the teachers one day said to, and I'm not going to give you any names, but it sounded like David. It said, David and Stephen, it said, "This essay on your dog is, word for word, the same as your brother's." To which he replied, "Yeah, it's the same dog." Little boy said, "The teacher said I must learn to write more legibly," he told his mother. He said, "But if I do, she'll find out I can't spell." So, I also noted this one. "Conrad, it's really important that you learn how to say what you mean and take the time to say it. You've got to do things in the proper way. And that's one of the things I've appreciated about you, because if not, things like this may occur." After being nearly snowbound for 2 weeks last winter, a Seattle man departed for his vacation in Miami Beach, where he was to meet his wife the next day at the conclusion of her business trip to Minneapolis. They were looking forward to pleasant weather and a nice time together. Unfortunately, there was some sort of mix-up at the boarding gate, and the man was told he'd have to wait for a later flight. He tried to appeal to a supervisor, but was told the airline was not responsible for the problem and would do no good to complain. Upon arrival at the hotel the next day, he discovered that Miami Beach was having a heat wave, and its weather was almost as uncomfortably hot as Seattle's was cold. The desk clerk gave him a message that his wife would arrive as planned. He could hardly wait to get to the pool area to cool off, and quickly sent his wife an email. But due to his haste, he made an error in the email address. His message therefore arrived at the home of an elderly preacher's wife, whose even older husband had died only the day before. When the grieving widow opened her email, she took one look at the monitor, let out an anguished scream, and fell to the floor dead. Her family rushed to her room where they saw this message on the screen. "Dearest wife, departed yesterday, as you know. Just now got checked in. There was some confusion at the gate. My appeal was denied. Received confirmation of your arrival tomorrow. Your loving husband. P.S. Things are not as we thought. You're going to be surprised how hot it is down here." Oh, so you got to learn how to say what you mean and mean what you say. And you've got to make sure you're saying it to the right people. We know, Conrad, names have meaning. And those meanings often describe the characteristic of a child, and at times may even address the future activity of that child. I was thinking about how Naomi's parents, what they must have thought of when they were naming Naomi. You see, her main name means "my pleasant one." And as she came into the world, you can only imagine the smiles there must have been on little Naomi and the mother looking at that and saying, "She is so pleasant. She's just always a pleasant. I'm going to call her Naomi." Well, you know, Naomi later changed her name after she'd been through a lot of hardships to Mara, from which we get our name Mary. It means bitter, because of hardships. But names do mean something. And I think that there are times that Christian parents are aided in naming their children by the Spirit of God. I wonder sometimes if the parents who named their son Joshua, which means "the Lord will save," knew when they named him, he would lead the children of Israel to many victories over the inhabitants of the land promised to Abraham. When the first and arguably the greatest missionary was named by his Hebrew parents, they acknowledged him as Saul, an answer to prayer, since his name means prayed for. But when he's going to work among Roman and Greek Gentiles, he changes his name to the Roman one, Paul. It made him more acceptable to the Gentile citizenry and audience. But it also reflected his appreciation for God's work in him, as this name also means small or humble. Paul always acknowledged his debt to Christ and counted all past achievements as worthless compared to the knowledge of Christ. Conrad, I looked your name up. It's from Old Germanic, and it comes from two words. The Old Germanic word Kanya, which means bold, brave, strong, and wise. And the word Redz, meaning counselor or advisor. Putting this together, you are a bold, strong, and wise counselor. As you commence to follow God's call in your life, I'd like to give you this counsel from God's Word. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You'll remember that our giving titles to the BCS abbreviation, the very first B stands for bold. And the wicked flees when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I read this one, Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations." And Proverbs 1:5 reminds us that a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Proverbs 19:20 reminds you, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. But you must continue in the things you have learned," Paul wrote to Timothy, "and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Conrad, the first part of your name means bold. And I'd like just to remind you about this. Bold refers to confidence. It's the confidence that one has when he knows he's right. I've watched you reveal that on a number of occasions. When you knew you were right about something, you stayed right with it. Tenaciously as a bulldog, you stayed right with it because you knew what you were saying was correct. And to the chagrin of many other people, it turned out it was correct. As it was, I want you to know this. There's a boldness that's characterized by one of the scriptures in which they call that person a fool. We might call it cockiness and arrogance. Its end is always destruction because it's based on one's confidence in himself and his opinion. Because the fool refuses to listen to counsel and is always satisfied with his own opinions, he has a false sense of being right. He fools himself and pays for it with wrong decisions. As an old song once said, "Fools rush in where wise men fear to tread." That's merely a paraphrasing of a psalm or a proverb which said exactly the same thing. This is the direct opposite of the boldness you will need to complete your name's worth in your calling. I know, Conrad, on times you have revealed the boldness because you knew you were speaking what the Word of God had to say. That boldness I want to underscore in your life and remind you, stay there, brother. Stay there. Notice our text teaches this, that where the wicked flee when no man's pursuing, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Conrad, your boldness will come from being righteous, first of all. The righteous in the Scriptures are those who believe God. They trust Him and His Word above the experiences around them or the opinions of the culture around them. The righteous man is the one who believes that the Creator works all things together for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. In other words, the righteous man does not spend his time complaining and griping, for he knows that the sovereign God is at work in his life, and he's doing good in his life, and he intends good in his life, and he works all those things together for good. The righteous man trusts God, that God is doing a good thing in his life, not an evil. The righteous is the man who believes God is greater than his circumstances. The righteous are informed by God's Word, not their own opinions nor those of their peers. The righteous are those who get all the facts before they form and share their opinion because they seek truth, justice, and mercy. Over and again, the Proverbs speak of the wise being those who listen carefully. The Scriptures tell us that we are to be those who are quick to hear, slow to wrath, and be very careful about what you say. The righteous are those who get who know the counsel of the Lord stands forever. It's not going to be something that goes back and forth. And Conrad, I'd like to just share with you, as you leave Berean Christian School, we understand the world you're going into. It isn't a Christian environment. It's not always Christian friendly. And sometimes when you get to a college, it's not always open to Christian ideas. As a matter of fact, sometimes it can be openly hostile. That's not every situation. It's not every case. And I don't want you to think it is. We don't think that every instructor you're going to have any place is always going to be one who's opposed to Christianity and always mean about things. We know a number of good college professors who are also believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that not always is it your instructors that form things. Sometimes it's the peer group that's around you. And you have to be a man who learns discernment. Don't leave behind what you have here so that you can be more and more accepted in there. Being accepted by a world full of foolishness is not a good acceptance. You want to be accepted as wise and in that wisdom. The righteous listen to and receive counsel from those who know good counsel. The righteous use discernment as they listen to the sayings and counsel of others and determine whom are wise enough to listen to and whom to avoid. There are some people, frankly, don't have anything to do with them. Psalm 1 reminds us that blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk in that counsel. Reject it. Turn it away. Come to where your ear hears it. Know what it's. You're comparing it to the Word of God. It doesn't sound the same. Reject it. You're not doing someone great harm by doing so. You're helping yourself and maybe even the fool to turn from his own way. I encourage you to be bold in the Lord, to have confidence in Him because you know His counsel. This confidence will not only give you bravery, courage, and boldness because you know it is what the Creator who has said, but it will be wise because it is based on the eternal counsel of God who made all things and authorizes and empowers them to do their work. It's always been an amazing thing to me, Conrad, that the Creator should have to answer to people who are His creation. And they should treat Him as if they have the authority to evaluate whether He's speaking validly or is not. The Creator spoke. He told you what the world's about. Listen to Him over others. But Conrad, I noticed in this, by your name's vocation, by the calling that God's put in your life, you're to be a counselor. Not simply a wise man, not simply one who's bold, but a counselor as well. And counselors take time. They're not just developed, not just simply born. They're developed over time. It takes quite a little bit. A counselor is one who gives good, sound advice. To give good, sound advice, you must be one who has it. Listen again to these verses from the counsel of the Lord that stands forever. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. A young man, as he grows in the Lord and he begins to have wise counsel, is recognized as being wise over time because he's one who listens to his instructors. He listens to those who know. He listens to what his parents had to say as they listen to the Word of God together. The kind of counselor God has called you to be requires you to be a man who listens to wise counsel and receives instruction from those who know. Just because tonight you find yourself completing the work God has given you here does not mean you can stop learning simply because you have gained enough to work. I understand when I was taking my Greek and Hebrew classes, our instructors there warned us time and again, please don't leave here and start talking about what the Greek says this, the Greek says that, the Hebrew says this, the Hebrew says that, just to impress people. Make sure that when you speak it, you know what you're saying. Make sure that you can do all of that. And I would like to just encourage you, work with whatever you're doing long enough that you can speak wisdom because of experience and wisdom because you know what you're talking about. A wise, bold counselor is one who never stops learning. Sometimes the pride of youthfulness leads one to believe you know enough to counsel even your teachers. Paul had a son in the faith that he counseled to let no one despise his youth. And to do that, he said, speak the word with all authority. Make sure that's your authority. Speaking from your own authority will not gain you an audience of wise people, but foolish followers. Paul knew this and gave his son this faithful counsel also. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Conrad, I'm looking forward to your future out there. As a young man who was listening to the Word of God, you paid attention to it. As a man that's complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Your parents, the staff at BCS, the ministries of the church have all cooperated in sharing with you the Word of God. The Holy Scriptures, which Paul says are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Don't forget the devotion and love of your parents for you in teaching you this word. You have been in them all your life, and God has raised you for such a time as this. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he had written this, that you knew them from childhood. This is the Scriptures you learned early on. You memorized them. They were part of homeschool. They were part of Berean Christian school. They were a part of your very life. Things you knew at home all the time. I want you to remember that the Scripture is God-breathed. It's God-given. It's from the Creator Himself. This is not just simply some ramblings of some men who wrote down some thoughts and somebody put the two leather pieces around both of them. No, brother, this is God-breathed and God-inspired work. This is God giving the same breath to His Word that He gave to Adam when Adam became a living being. And I want you to remember, too, it's always profitable. It's profitable for you in doctrine, so that you know the truth of what God says about His world. It's good for reproof, showing you what is wrong and the different paths open to follow. It's good for correction, not just pointing out what you are doing wrong or have done wrong, but showing you the right and acceptable path. This is the instruction of our loving Heavenly Father. For instruction in righteousness, too, so that you know the whole cosmos is supposed to work together and how God wants the whole cosmos He created functioning. It is given in order, Conrad, that you may be complete. This is the foundation of your boldness and be fully equipped for every good work that God has ordained that you should walk in and perform. Conrad, God bless you in all that you do, brother. You're going to be a bold, strong, wise, and faithful counselor. Someone who knows good counsel and is able to give it. That's God's calling on your life. Because somewhere along the way, there were some parents who listened to God and determined this was the name you want to give Him. Who may not have known at all, but the same Lord that knit you one day in the womb of Kimberly. Who was knowing all the little tiny idiosyncrasies He's going to make about you. Who enjoyed every moment of what He was making about you. Who enjoyed the time He was going to give you. Who enjoyed the things and experiences He's going to bring you through in order that you might follow Jesus Christ nobly. That God knew you, friend. And that God put a calling in your life. Be faithful to the calling God has given you. God bless you.
Well, at this time we would like to present the diploma to Conrad, and so conferring that diploma upon him today will be the president of our school board, Mr. Rich Bachman, the director of the school, Pastor Doug White, and myself as principal, Mr. Bill Root. And it is our pleasure to be able to present an honors diploma to Conrad Tallman.
Without me?
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present to you the graduating class of Berean Christian Schools 2014.
Congratulations to you from all of us. It is time for benediction, so I'd like to stand. The benediction tonight will be a blessing on Conrad. So stand, and let's have a word of prayer together, shall we? Father, indeed, we are grateful that you are the creator of all things. You gave life to each and every one of us, Father. You gifted us with the kind of intelligence that we're going to have. You gifted us with talents and abilities and given us the opportunity to use them. Tonight, Father, we want to thank you so much for Conrad. Thank you for what you're doing in his life. We ask that you would set before him the challenges that will make of him a mighty man of God. We're going to thank you for the tribulation that's coming his way, just as much as we're going to thank you for the great joys and victories that are his. For we know that in all of them you are forming him into the very image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you would make of him a mighty counselor, bold and strong and brave, unafraid to speak the truth of God's word. Father, we need leaders. We need desperately leaders who can lead the communities that we live in, who can lead the churches that we all worship in. We ask in Jesus' name you would use this young man for your glory and honor. Grant to him fruitfulness in all that he does. Grant to him an open and receiving heart that he might understand all the in and outs of the field of his choosing, Father, this endeavor that you have for him. Help him become wise in that. Keep him, Father, in that area of looking at your word all the time. And I'm going to thank you for what you're going to do with him. We ask your blessing, Father, upon his friends, those he will meet. We ask you to give him discernment as he meets people, that he'll be a gracious and merciful young man to all mankind, that you'll grant to him good discernment in making good friends. Thank you for whoever you have for him in this life, Father, that will share life with him. We give you appreciation and praise for her, Father, and ask that you raise her up in a godly way even now. Thank you for what you're going to do in his life, the life of all those who will be affected by him. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.